It's that time of year. Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa with Mike Valeni. We shift the focus from football to college hoops, playing that system that's not a system, but sure plays like a system leading up to the tournament. We're looking for that value with the daily dimes. We look for the gross lines, getting us ready for the tournament where we're going to break down all the matchups and have an eye on some future plays too. This time of year, baby. Search Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And away we go, hour number three of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. We'll head out to the hotline right now. We'll be joined via Zoom by the great Phil Simms, of course, NFL on CBS, the great legendary Giant quarterback. He's kind enough to connect with us as we get set for free agency next week and then also the NFL draft at the end of April. And there's a whole lot to talk about right now in the quarterback world. Phil, appreciate the time. How you been?
I'm doing well, Zach. There was a little too many greats in that introduction, but that's okay. You know, it's better to overstate than under, I guess. But I'm doing well. Kind of relaxing, enjoyed the offseason so far. And I've been watching a lot of these quarterbacks, so that's been kind of fun to do. And, you know, the draft, I mean, come on. The combine, the draft, free agency, everything that's going on in the NFL never stops. We all know that.
By the way, our pals, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, you know they like to make a lot of fun of you because of the glasses that you wear. I don't know if you're aware of this, but I interviewed Travis Kelce during Super Bowl week, and they wanted me to ask him about your glasses. Travis Kelce gave you a ringing endorsement. He said, keep wearing the glasses. They look great on you.
Okay. Well, you know, when I think of fashion, the first thing that comes to my mind is Greg Giannotti. You know, it's just right up there. Just wow. And of course, Boomer too. Boomer, you know, likes to join in. Used to see the damn glasses he puts on that head. So he wore a pair of pink glasses for a while. And I was trying to get a picture of him with them on him.
Yeah.
And he knew that. So he's been a little sly. He's got another pair. They're blue. Whatever.
But, no.
Yeah, they like to have fun with it and good for them. And that's it. Yeah. When you need to know anything about fashion, though, Zach, make sure you go to those two because they're on top of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll have to get up early and next week make sure I get all the fashion advice from Greg Giannotti and Boomer.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Phil Simms here with us. So Russell Wilson meeting with the Steelers right now. The other day he met with the Giants. What would your reaction be if we get an alert sometime next week that the Giants signed Russell Wilson to a one-year deal, like $2 million or so, whatever it's going to be?
Yeah, I think I'd be very, very surprised if that would happen, Russell Wilson to the Giants. I don't have any information. I haven't called anybody. I think I've read some articles. It kind of caught me by surprise. The Giants did meet with him, I think. But, you know, he's looking at it, and I would think Russell Wilson probably look at the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're probably closer to what he wants to accomplish than the Giants. And I think maybe that would drive him there. I don't have a great feeling for it, Zach, but that would be just my first thought. When this went down with the Denver Broncos – and the offseason started, you know, the word is constantly on TV, maybe Russell Wilson to the Steelers. And that would have been one of my first thoughts, too. The Steelers, maybe the Falcons. But, gosh, everybody says now it's like almost a done deal that Kirk Cousins is going down to the Falcons. So that's interesting, too. Yeah, I'd be surprised if Russell Wilson ended up in New York.
Yeah, so would I. And when I look at the Giants, the other rumor that's been there is that at six, that if J.J. McCarthy's there, they're going to take him. Would that catch you by surprise if they drafted McCarthy at six?
You know, I said probably when the season was over, maybe even the Super Bowl week, I said there's no way the Giants are going to draft a quarterback at number six. But, you know, I'm slowly changing my mind and thinking, I guess that maybe it is a possibility just because of what you hear and read and, you know, the situation they're in, Daniel Jones, his health, all that. And it's a big year for the Giants. They need to play well. They need good quarterback play. J.J. McCarthy at six, to me, that's too high to take him. I think you can do whatever, move back a little, something like that. I like him. I watched him play during the year many times, Michigan, And I never looked at it and said, wow, he'll be a top 10 pick if he comes out this year. I was surprised at first that he did declare for the draft. But then as I thought about it, I said, well, it's a good time. You know, they won the national championship. The coach is gone. They lost a ton of good players, of course, which they can always refurbish down there in Michigan. But as I started watching him and studying him close, I said, okay, yeah, I think he is a first-round quarterback. But I do think it's going to need a little time because he's not like Michael Penix, Bo Nix, or these quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, where they got so many throws that they're really ready and conditioned to go play in the NFL. I think there'll be a little transition, no doubt, about J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, it's so tough to evaluate a quarterback who has played a lot, but at Michigan, right, with Corum and Edwards and that great offensive line that they had for 3 years, it would have been stupid to have him throw the football 35, 40 times a game. So I'll be fascinated how teams evaluate what his potential could be, but you're not wrong, Phil. It seems like right now his name, ever since the combine, has been flying up the board where a lot of people are expecting him now to go before Drake May, and that wouldn't have been the case at any point in the last 2 years.
Sorry, I was at the dermatologist, but my face is all red. I would say this, when J.J. McCarthy said he was decided to come out, I went, my gosh, what is he, crazy third or fourth round draft pick? And, you know, I never really like zeroed in on him when I was watching Michigan as much. But then I started watching him, started studying him. I said, oh, wow, this is better than I thought. The arm is good. It's powerful. He runs, I think, well. You know, is there a big upside for him? Yeah, I think so. There is. I became a believer as I kept watching the games. And by the third one, by the time it was over, I said, okay, I got it. And, you know, it's tough. Zach, it's hard to play in a system like he did at Michigan where you're not constantly throwing the football and staying in rhythm. And if you miss a couple, you don't worry because you know there's just the next play is going to be another pass. You know, when I watch most of these other quarterbacks, I mean, it's unbelievable. Hey, when in doubt, let's throw a screen. I mean, you know, some of these teams, they throw 15, 20 screens a game, or it seems like that. Probably not that much, but yeah, so this will be interesting about J.J. McCarthy. I'll be surprised if he's picked at number 6. I'll just say that.
Phil Simms here with us. So Caleb Williams, it seems like he's going to be the number 1 overall pick, and the Bears are going to trade Justin Fields. Do you have any concerns, any qualms about Caleb Williams as he gets set to start his NFL career?
Well, one of my concerns was this, is I, you know, watched him, you know, I get to see him a little bit, not a great deal during the season because USC might come on late or whatever. But yeah, my qualms, I guess you would say, when I watched him, I was like, oh my God, he's even better than I thought. I mean, come on. He's got everything. He's not like super big, but he's 6'1", 215, 220, runs well. If you make him stay in the pocket, he's a very good thrower of the football, accurate, love his motion. He's very consistent. And on the run, he's a phenom as far as throwing passes down the field while on the run. And, I just read something in the paper today. I forgot who wrote it, that, you know, there was some trouble at the combine. He came off as a little quirky. And you know what? I talked to 4 people that interviewed him down there, and they said the opposite. Wow, what a good dude. Really, just everything about him you liked once you finished interviewing him. I know it's an interview, but it just kind of shows you the different perspective that's out there sometimes. And I had some of those thoughts about him, but I feel really confident that he's going to be a good pro. Yeah, maybe there'll be a little of adjustment. There is for every kid going into pro football. And it looks like it's going to Chicago. And I think Chicago's done a great job of kind of getting this thing ready and building their team up where it won't be like you're going to a team that's 1-15 or 1-16 a year before. So we'll see how it goes. But I like Caleb Williams a lot.
Yeah, you know, I haven't thought about it because I saw the same thing that you were reading, that criticism of Williams at the combine, as Phil Simms is here with us. When you know that you're going to be the number 1 overall pick, I know you have to carry yourself still a certain way, but like if I knew I was getting a job one place and that's the place I wanted to go with, like when you have to talk to all these other teams, you know, you're really going to get the best version of that person when you know when you're going to go. It kind of feels pointless. So I'll give him a pass on that one if that's the criticism.
Yeah, listen, it's hilarious. Just the credit, how, now we're, you know, guys are ranked here, and then all of a sudden they fall, and then somebody from down below, they, you know, we push it up, and the things are changing, and I don't know, all the talk, it sometimes, it, look, it's great for talk radio, and of course I love it too, but it wears you out, and now Jaden Daniels could be the first guy picked. Okay. Where'd that come from? You know, just somebody write it and it becomes, you know, a big talking point for everybody. So, but I do think just Caleb Williams will go first. I'll be really surprised if Jaden Daniels is not number two going to the Washington Commanders. And from there, we'll see. You know, my first guess is that New England will not take a quarterback at number three. And I've always thought that as soon as the season's over, I said, yeah, there's a lot going on up there. And, you know, I see the quarterbacks and I just think they can move down or do something different and get a player to help them right away or get the quarterback at a place where they want to draft him. So,
yeah. And I think New England, because I would like to see Jaden Daniels go there, but I'm with you. I think he goes two. I would kind of pass on Drake May at three. And then that decision comes down to, do you take Marvin Harrison Jr., I think is the best player in the draft, or do you trade it and just get a haul of picks for maybe next year?
Yeah, that's a good question. A lot will depend on what – I think we'll get some of those answers in free agency, is like from New England. Will they sign a receiver, go out and get – you know, pay some money to get somebody that's really fast and kind of change their who their team is? Listen, it's no secret. They're a slow team. I mean, they're slow, period. And I would watch them last year, and a defense would be playing good at times. But the offense, man, every series, every play was just a grind. I mean, to get a 5 or 6 yard completion or a positive run, all those things. It was so they need speed on that team. They need quite a bit of help. So that's why it wouldn't surprise me they trade out at number three.
Are you shocked, Phil Simms, that Belichick is not going to be coaching next year, that he didn't get a job?
Yeah, man, I mean, of course, I'm extremely surprised. And I think anybody that follows the NFL, I haven't heard anybody go, oh, I knew he'd have trouble landing a job. So, yeah, I was surprised. I thought when he did that interview down in Atlanta, then he had a second interview, I think, or whatever. I said, oh, well, this is over. He'll be the next head coach down there. But it didn't work out. And, you know, sitting out this year, I don't know what his ambitions are, or does he want to coach again? Or look for a job again next year? I would say he probably will. You know, that'd be my guess.
Talking to Phil Simms right now, I saw your son put out this list the other day, and he had Drake May as the sixth best quarterback in the draft. What do you see, just wondering, with Drake May?
Well, I watched him really close. And, you know, listen, I try to treat them all the right way, and I understand. And it's not easy sometimes to say something about a player that's not positive. I struggle with that always when I'm doing the draft, especially with the quarterbacks. But when I turned it on, I did this, Simms Complete. I did it with my young son, Matt. We do some podcasts. And I said, I have to admit, when I turned Drake May on, because I didn't get to watch him during the season a lot because, you know, North Carolina went on the national game and didn't get to watch him as much. But I had read everything that people were saying. And I said on the podcast, I was surprised. It wasn't like watching Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Bo Nix, where I was kind of like, wow, they're even better than I expected as I study them and see their team and all that. So, yeah, he's got a lot of good things on his side. But, you know, my son does what he thinks is right. And I probably – Drake May, I mean, I was thinking as time has gone on, it seems this thought about him where he's falling in the draft is real. So that'll be interesting. I haven't ranked them yet. And, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I probably will rank the quarterbacks here in the next week or two or something like that. Just put them how I think they might go. Or I'm going to put them in the order where I think they really are, just for me. I mean, that's really what it is, right?
So. Yeah, no doubt about it. Just getting back to the Giants. What would your advice be, just wondering, to Daniel Jones? Because it's got to be awkward right now. I know they paid him. But Russ was there for a meeting. I still don't think he's going to sign there. And then you have all these rumors about them taking a quarterback in the draft. from one Giant legend to a Giant quarterback, just what advice would you give Daniel Jones right now?
Hey, man, there's only one advice, and it's, I'm sure he's all right. Hey, head down and let's go. I mean, that's all you have. And there's nothing I can tell him that's a secret sauce or something that's going to change who he is. You know, just be tough and fight for the job like it's the last thing you'll ever get in your life. And that's what you do. And, you know, he is a hard worker. I think he's a talented quarterback. And it needs to come together this year for him, for the team again. We thought it did 2 years ago. And last year was a big disappointment. But, you know, he has the talent to be a very good starting NFL quarterback. And he's got to display it on a more consistent basis. And he's got to take charge of the team. You know, Zach, I think that would be my one criticism of Daniel Jones. Take charge. My God, when it's falling apart on the field, let somebody know. And, you know, and it's hard to compare him to guys like, Tom Brady and all that. When things are not going well, they're going to speak up. And because when it comes down to it, winning and losing, they're going to either give the quarterback praise or they're going to blame you for the losses. So you might as well try to be a big influence in that area because you are the quarterback. And when you do speak, people are going to listen also. So,
one more Giant-related question for you, Phil Sims. Right down the hall to us is Tiki Barber, legendary Giant running back. He was saying yesterday he would be annoyed if Saquon Barkley, he expects him to leave in free agency, but if he picked the Philadelphia Eagles, would that get you annoyed if you have to see Saquon Barkley in an Eagles uniform next year?
Yeah, let me think. Yes. Okay. Yeah, it would. Come on. You know, it's the Eagles. They're always a big rival to the Giants. It was when I was playing all those years. And, you know, it was rough and tough. And that's who they are now. But, yeah, you know, Saquon Barkley, I think I have a hard time really thinking about him playing anywhere but here in New York. I do. I think the fans, and they love him so much. He's great for the area. I think he knows and feels all this appreciation. I hope it works out with the Giants. But if it doesn't, I hope it's not the Eagles. Okay, so, yeah. When I heard I heard Tiki's little thing about it, that was very good. It was very good.
Before we let you run, I think this is a tough question just because I think a lot of people could have different answers. As Phil Sims is here with us, always great with us on the Zach Gilb Show on CBS Sports Radio. The NFC. I asked this question yesterday. Who's the best quarterback entering 2024 in the NFC? What would your answer be, just wondering?
Well, give me a list of a couple here just to take one. It's hard to even think. I mean, go ahead.
I ended up going with Matthew Stafford, but my producers, Stu and Michael Samter, they both ended up going with Jalen Hurts. Obviously, Dak Prescott has been in the conversation. Some people even saying Brock Purdy, Jordan Love. After what we've seen this season, but I ended up going with Matthew Stafford.
You did a great job, Zach. You know, Matthew Stafford, who went with Jalen Hurts? Did they like the season he had last year? Were you impressed with the throwing, with all that? What is that? Boy, I mean, really, it's unbelievable how they finished as a team and how that worked out. But Matthew Stafford, really a good one, always underrated, tough as hell, and one of the greatest throwers, passers of the football in history. So is that an overstatement? No, it's not. He is a fantastic thrower. So, and I'll tell you the other one, the up-and-comer quick, is Jordan Love. I mean, I've watched him every game he's played with Green Bay, and he's been there, and I could always see the improvement a little bit, you know, because he's not getting to play much. And it took him a while to get his feet on the ground this past year, but damn, did he ever get it going. I mean, I thought he threw the ball really, really well the last 8 weeks or whatever of the season. And, of course, when they lost to San Francisco, it was probably maybe one of his worst games of the year, I thought. He just didn't plant his feet and just really let the ball go, which he'd been doing from, you know, a lot at the end of the year, and that's why they got in the playoffs. But Green Bay's looking pretty smart for what they did now, right?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, Phil, because you had Green Bay trade Rodgers. You had the Texans, obviously, trade Deshaun Watson. And then you had the Seahawks trade Russell Wilson. It's not like any of those three teams ended up face-planting. You know, I know the Seahawks ended up getting rid of Pete, and they just brought in a new coach. But you got some players on that team. Love Looks like he's the real deal. And my, oh my, C.J. Stroud, I've never seen a rookie season like that from a quarterback.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud was awesome. You know, I followed him close because we have people or, you know, friends that we know that have kids that are down there playing at Ohio State. So C.J., of course, he went way over what I ever expected for him to do in his rookie year. That's for sure. But, you know, just think about this. If Jordan Love would have been drafted and had to go in and play wherever he was drafted in his rookie year, he would be tossed aside by now.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't ready. And, you know, I didn't, as I watched him in Utah State, yeah, there were a lot of things I liked about him, the size of every once in a while he'd make a great throw. But I thought he was really inconsistent throwing the football and being with, under Aaron Rodgers. He kind of mimics Aaron Rodgers quite a bit in what he does now. And it worked well for him, but he needed that time. There's no doubt about it. And maybe, you know, you could almost say the same thing about Aaron Rodgers. He needed a year or two before he got on that field. Or I'm saying needed it, but he got it, and it really helped him tremendously, that extra time getting ready to be to take over a franchise, which is, let me tell you, it's hard to be a franchise quarterback in the NFL.
He is Phil Sims. Make sure you check out his podcast with his son. I always love listening to that. And then another season of football, Phil, will be coming right around the corner before we even know it. Appreciate you doing this as always, my friend.
All right, Zach, my pleasure. And listen, you're looking great. There you go. I like the picture of you before and you're on there. You're all jacked up. But listen, great talking to you. And we'll catch up soon, maybe before the draft. And I'll give you my list of the quarterbacks and everybody else. It's good because today I spent a little time with receivers. I'm going to watch offensive linemen here probably over the weekend. And you know, believe it or not, I love watching the offensive linemen and judging it.
Yeah, a bunch really of big guys hitting people. Who doesn't like that stuff?
Yeah,
bunch
it's great. I mean, to nothing like seeing a guy 350 pounds really athletic or whatever. That's what really gets me. But, look, it's all good. Thanks for spending the time or letting me come on, and we'll talk soon.
You got it. There he is, the great, and I mean the great, Phil Sims joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Always love our conversations with him. I could talk with him all day. We'll take a break. We'll come on back after these short messages.
It's that time of year. Cash the Ticket. Jim Costa with Mike Valeni. We shift the focus from football to college hoops. Playing that system that's not a system, but sure plays like a system leading up to the tournament. We're looking for that value with the daily dimes. We look for the gross lines, getting us ready for the tournament where we're going to break down all the matchups and have an eye on some future plays too. This time of year, baby. Search Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, he's Zach Gelb here, CBS Sports Radio on the Zach Gelb Show. I will say, I think we need to bring Phil Sims on more often. Anytime Phil Sims has come on recently, since we've done this show streaming on YouTube.com/CBS Sports Radio, is able to see us, he just gives me a lot of compliments with the way that I look. You know, I may need to just get like that recorded and just start putting that on like all these websites and things like that. Phil Sims saying I look jacked. Phil Sims saying I'm looking good. Man, on a Friday? That just sends you right off into the weekend in a very positive mood. I'll tell you, it's so tough to do things on Friday night because I don't know why. Like, I walk out of the studio Monday, feel great. Tuesday, feel great. Wednesday, feel great. Thursday, feel great. But on Friday, and I know that's the start of the weekend, I hate making plans on Friday. Like, I have plans tonight. And for some reason, I don't know why, every time I make plans on Friday, I don't want to say I regret making those plans because it's not nice to the people that I'm having the plans with, but I just feel absolutely exhausted and wiped. Like, I can't even imagine, like, I don't have much responsibilities. Samter has a wife and a 14-month-old daughter. Like, when you go home and your daughter is beautiful, just full of energy, you must be wiped on a Friday.
Yeah, Friday, and honestly, you're not 30 yet. You're coming up to it in a couple months.
I'm an old man now.
But telling you, the older you get, the less intriguing Friday nights become.
Yeah.
Because, like, Thursdays are a fun night because, like, you're still, like, you know, 4 days into the week, you're not quite as tired. Maybe you're a little bit energized still that the weekend's almost there. Mm-hmm. Saturdays can be fun. Sundays are for football or relaxing or hanging out. Fridays, you're just like, week's over. I just want to do nothing. I just want to like watch TV. I want to devour food. I want to do nothing. Fridays are not a fun night to go out.
No.
They're not.
My favorite night to go out is Saturdays.
Yeah. Thursdays and Saturdays to me.
Because I'm usually well rested from Friday. Could sleep in late on Saturday. Maybe hit the gym on Saturday. Like 11:30 gym I try to do on Saturday. Take care of what I need to take care of during the day on Saturday, and then go out on Saturday for like a nice dinner or something. Honestly, if I'm at this stage in life now, I'm going to sound like such a loser. Where if I know that I'm going somewhere where it's going to be like a good amount of alcohol, I prefer the day drink on Saturday. Because then I could be like hungover at night, then order up some like nice greasy food, and then I could just feel fine when I wake up Sunday. And the back-to-back drinking nights, like earlier this week on Monday, our boss, Spike Eskin, said, "You look tired." And I looked at Spike and I said, "Well, I'm coming off back-to-back bachelor parties. Of course I am tired right now, going to Orlando and then going to Puerto Rico." I don't know about you, Stu. Do you feel that way? Stu is Mr. Social Butterfly. Oh. Stu is everywhere. I follow you on Instagram, Stu. I never realized you are out in the town, hockey games, you're going to restaurants, you're going to concerts, stalking Taylor Swift. Like, you are everywhere. You go to a lot of places. Yeah. Is the recovery hit you tough yet?
Yeah, it's getting tougher. It definitely is getting tougher. I prefer Saturdays to Fridays. In fact, a lot of Fridays I'll find myself going to bed earlier than I do during the week, which is kind of sad, but sometimes it will be like 10 o'clock on Friday. I'll be like, all right, I'm just ready for bed.
The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio, where we're all a bunch of lame people. Like, seriously.
No, you know what? Get rid of the stigma, right? wanting to hang out and chill on a Friday night rather than going out and raging doesn't make you lame. It makes you a normal human being.
You know what, Samter? You are the voice for the voiceless. That's what you are now.
You know what? I'm not even looking at the chat right now. I can promise you the guys in the chat are agreeing with everything that I'm saying right now. It doesn't make you lame to want to stay in and hang out and chill on a Friday night. Now, Saturday's different, Thursday, Sunday. But Friday night, I think that most people have kind of gotten into, outside of like 25-year-olds and below, Friday night is not worth it.
Most overrated holiday.
Valentine's Day.
Oh, man. I hear the dig. The hole just being digged outside your backyard.
No, the wife agrees to.
Oh, she does? Okay,
yeah, she's like, what are we doing? Like, we can go out to dinner any night. She's like, you can be romantic any day. Why do you need to, like, be forced to get me a card?
Well, that's why.
Valentine's Day is the most overrated.
Stu, what is the most overrated holiday? I think there's one answer fits in this conversation.
Think it might be St. Patrick's Day.
Ooh, coming up. Uh-oh, Boyle is...
Sorry,
here we go.
I'm Irish, too.
I have Irish,
in me, too.
You bite your tongue, Stu.
I have Irish in me, too, so I'm allowed to...
You bite your tongue.
Is St. Paddy's Day your favorite holiday?
Of course.
More than Christmas? Of course. Well, it's New Year's. New Year's is the most overrated holiday.
Oh, yeah. New Year's is close for me, too.
Yeah.
That was pretty lame.
Mm-hmm. Boyle, are you at that stage of life yet? See, now I feel like I'm really old when I get to talk to someone a little bit younger. Are you at that stage of life yet where it's tough to go back-to-back nights drinking out of the town?
I mean, it's definitely the recovery process is a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
You feel it the next day. And if you go back-to-back nights that second day, you feel like you just want to sit in bed for a couple of days. But, you know, like you said, you do the necessary recovery work. Just like if you were to, you know, playing a game or run a marathon, you ice up, you run the bike, you eat well, you hydrate. You got to hydrate before you go to bed. Two Advils, some greasy carb-loaded food, and you're good to go, man. You speed up. You cut the recovery process in half.
Just wondering. Just inquiring mind. There's nothing that forced this or sparked this. If you were a great marathon runner, do you think that necessarily means you're a great fighter?
I would say that means that you can probably at least go a whole fight. You have the stamina to go a whole fight.
Okay. Until someone punches you in the face.
Well, yes. I mean, if there are no punches thrown and you're just dancing around missing and not really landing anything, you could probably still go the whole fight because you've
run a marathon. Like a Floyd Mayweather fight is what you're saying. I was basically like watching Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me be clear. That's not me saying I would take Floyd Mayweather in a fight. I would never do something like that. We'll leave that for just dumber people that are on later in the evening. I think they could beat a
world-class boxer. Like, I don't know. What's that guy's name?
Mike Tyson?
Tyson? Yeah. Tyson, I think that's how you pronounce it. Anyway, real quickly, just want to go around the room. Russell Wilson to the Giants, yes or no? Just give me the yes or no. Stu?
No.
No. Samter?
No way.
No. Oil? Steelers. So no Giants.
I don't think he's... I suggested the Steelers the day he was benched. I think he's going to the Minnesota Vikings. I don't think it's going to be designed by Minnesota, but that's where I think he's going to land. What I believe the Steelers are doing right now, I was surprised the Giants took it. Now, I wonder if Russ just like called him and was like, hey, I need a favor. Can you guys just meet with me? And maybe they met with one another. Because there's been interest or there's been talks about that in the past. I would be shocked if he lands with the Giants. Like, if I'm the Giants, you either go with Daniel Jones for one more season or you take a quarterback at 6 or trade up to 3. Those are the only 2 or 3 options right there. I don't see why you'd bring in Russell Wilson because I don't think Russell Wilson would be a good mentor. And also, if Daniel Jones somehow beats out Russell Wilson, I don't think Russell Wilson would handle that well. And if you got rid of Daniel Jones and you kept Russell Wilson and you drafted still someone at 6, I don't think he's mentoring that quarterback well enough. But the Steelers, and it's interesting that you said the Steelers, Boyle, so I'll throw this to you. I think what the Steelers are doing here is they're saying, we want to send a message to Kenny Pickett this offseason. Because there have been some excuses made for Kenny Pickett, which have validity, right? With the wide receivers wanting to kill one another in the sideline. You had Matt Canada, that bozo as the OC last year. So there have been excuses for Kenny Pickett, had the injury too. He has not played well. He's pedestrian in his career, 13 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. But I feel like the loyalty of Mike Tomlin here, he's going to send a message. We're going to flirt with Russ, and then we're not going to pull the trigger on it. Maybe bring back Mason Rudolph, which isn't really much, doesn't scare you.
No.
And I don't think they're drafting a quarterback at 20. I keep on going to the Steelers. Now, what they should do? Yeah. Trade for Fields. Sign Russ. I'm on that train. I don't believe in Kenny Pickett. But I think they're going to give Kenny Pickett another shot. So why do you think they're actually going to sign Russell Wilson?
Because they need a quarterback. Like you said, they're going to run it back. You know, Mason Rudolph's going to be their backup.
Now, look how many years Mason Rudolph has been there.
They don't have a good pick to use in a draft on a quarterback unless they trade up.
So let me ask you this. If Russell Wilson's going to the Steelers, you're just saying because they need another quarterback. You don't think he's the guaranteed starter there?
I think it would be whoever performs better in camp. I don't think Kenny Pickett, as much as they say it, I think they did enough to hurt his confidence by basically doing the opposite, saying, you know, out everything but in broad daylight, we don't believe in Kenny Pickett as our quarterback. And now I think they're kind of backtracking a little bit, Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, Brass and Omar Khan, but I don't think they believe in him, just like you don't, just like most people that have watched him through 2 years, whether it's fair or not. I know he hurt his ankle this year and then didn't play again the rest of the season, but he wasn't very good before that. What are they doing? They don't have, like I just said, they don't have a good enough draft pick unless they trade up to move up in the draft. They're not going to draft a quarterback, so you're just going to hope that Kenny Pickett has the year of his career?
It sounds stupid, but yeah, that's what I think they're going to do because I don't think Russell Wilson is going to Pittsburgh without the assurance that he's a starter. Like, I think if he signs there, he'll be the starter, but I think he wants the assurance. And for Russ, I think you got to wait a little bit. You got to see what dominoes fall. Like, Kirk Cousins is going to determine a lot for other teams.
True.
Because let's say if Kirk Cousins re-signs in Minnesota, then Atlanta could pivot to Justin Fields. But if they can't get Justin Fields, then they could pivot to Russell Wilson. But if Kirk goes to Atlanta, then that creates a vacancy in Minnesota, and I'd be surprised if Fields gets traded to Minnesota in division, and you could say you want to move up in the draft, but what happens if you move up in the draft, or you try to move up in the draft and you can't? Like, Minnesota reportedly tried to move up in the draft last year for Anthony Richardson, and they couldn't do so. So what I'm saying here with Russ, I think a lot of times we grow accustomed to, free agency starts next week. All the big deals are going to be done within the first 2-3 days with illegal tampering. You find out most of them anyway. But usually by Thursday, we know where most of these guys are. I wonder if we know where Russ is until after the draft. It seems like a long time. And it could mess it up because you want to get that quarterback the playbook as soon as possible. But a team may have to see bare minimum a few dominoes fall. Maybe it goes up until the draft, maybe it doesn't, but they're going to have to see a few dominoes fall before they go, all right, we're pivoting to Russell Wilson.
Well, you want them to learn the playbook. That you could, I think you can learn Matt Canada's playbook in about 3 days because I think it has about, you know, 4 or 5 pages. That's about it.
Well, now they got Arthur Smith and
six-year-old with a box of crayons can make a better playbook than Matt Canada.
Did Matt Canada land anywhere? I'm going to just, I know we got to
take a college job? And Arthur, yeah, I think you said Arthur Smith ain't any better.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait. The Steelers fans have been so tortured. They're going to have to hear how Arthur Smith doesn't use Deontay Johnson and their best weapons and George Pickens because he's smarter than everybody else.
So let me just double check this. I don't want to give false information here. Let me just get the Matt Canada page up here. Matt Canada, I don't think he landed anywhere. I don't have him anywhere. So it popped up LSU, but I knew he was at LSU. I don't know if he had a reunion, but Matt Canada right now, from at least what I've seen, does not have a job anywhere. Who was the guy? Oh, Adam Gase. Like, Adam Gase has never resurfaced anywhere. Remember there was that rumor he was coaching high school?
Team, didn't he?
No, I think that was a fake rumor. I think that was like a report, like one of those reporters. Like
Ball Sack Sports?
Yeah, or like, who's the other guy? Wes Steinberg or something?
Yes.
I think someone threw it out there that that's where Adam Gase was going to some high school, and then it ended up being a joke. So, I don't know if Matt Canada is anywhere. Of course you go with Ball Sack Sports.
Oh, it was the other one, Buck Crack Sports?
No, okay. This is where we're going to take a break here on the Zach Gelb Show at CBS Sports Radio. This isn't Boyle's like 3 a.m. Eastern time show. We got kids in the car right
hey,
now.
Hey, I'll be on 2 to 6 p.m. St. Paddy's Day.
Oh, Eastern. Are you?
Yes.
But I thought St. Paddy's Day was a big day for
you. I'm going to have to alter my habits or I'm going to have to go out at night.
Okay. I had to do New Year's once. I filled in for the legendary Scott Farrell.
Like as the clock struck midnight on New Year's Day, you were on the air?
And you got out at 2 a.m. Eastern time. And people were still out.
Some of the creatures you must have saw that night.
That was an old Zach Gelb, or should I say a young Zach Gelb. But those days are long but over. Man, I'm cooked. I'm washed. Not even 30 yet. I'm washed over the hill. Latest CBS Sports Radio update with Patty Boyle.
A new year is full of surprises, but one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com code PROGRAM.
It's time to answer Ask the Pros question of the day, and it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Will on Long Island says, Zach, do you think Jaden Daniels will move past J.J. McCarthy and Drake May in the quarterback rankings? You could submit a question by tweeting at CBS Sports Radio, at Zach Gelb, using the hashtag Ask the Pros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. The J.J. McCarthy part threw me off because I think the conversation is more so Drake May or Jaden Daniels. And I do believe, and I've felt this way now, even before the combine, where if I'm a team picking at 2, because we all know Williams is going 1. The Bears are taking Caleb Williams. They're going to trade Justin Fields. And Caleb Williams is going to be the next guy or the guy in Chicago. The Commanders at 2 is fascinating. Now, Robert Griffin III joined us earlier in the week. He says he believes it should be Jaden Daniels. And I'm right with him. And I'll be hoping that the Commanders take McCarthy or they take Drake May or whoever it is. Because I don't want McCarthy or May at 3. I want Jaden Daniels for the Patriots. And that's why I was annoyed when the Patriots won some games at the end of the year, beating Pittsburgh, beating Denver as well. I just think Jaden Daniels, outside of Williams, from a quarterback standpoint, has the most upside in the draft because of how much better of a rusher that he is than all these other quarterbacks. And then also he was still able to throw 40 passing touchdowns this past season while putting on 1,100 yards on the ground and pouring that on defenses. Now, he had some great wide receivers at LSU, starting off with Malik Nabers. And then you have Thomas as well. But you're not going to necessarily have that right away in the pros, but you could go get a number one wide receiver. And we've seen teams, whether it was with Jalen Hurts or whether it was Tua Tagovailoa or Josh Allen, put their quarterbacks eventually in positions to succeed wherever they did go in the draft. But I did see Santer show me before the show, there's been all this talk about Drake May falling, right? That's been the big buzz topic off the combine. Drake May, it was Williams and May, 1-1A, 1-2, even a debate should May be in front of Williams. That was the debate all throughout the college football season, it felt like. But in the last like week and a half, 10 to 14 days, it has felt like from a conversation standpoint that Drake May is going to go the earliest, the third quarterback off the board. And most people agree with RG3 and me that it's going to be Williams 1 and it's going to then be Jaden Daniels 2. But from a gambling line, and since I am an alum of Temple University, you know, maybe I know a thing or two these days about the gambling world, which I don't really have any inside information. And no, it's not me that may be getting a few tips with the Temple basketball team. But from a gambling world, Drake May, with all this noise and all this turbulence, and it seems like he's falling, he's still the betting favorite to go to number two with the Washington Commanders. He's at minus 140. Where Jaden Daniels is at plus 120. Now, I quickly go back to that 2018 draft where you had five quarterbacks go in the first round. At least we know who's going one overall. Until a few days before we found out it was going to be Baker Mayfield, no one knew Baker Mayfield was going to be the number one overall pick. Wasn't talked about a lot. A lot of people thought Sam Darnold was going to be the first quarterback. So you saw Baker go one, Sam fall to number three, which ended up being the second quarterback off the board. And then the third quarterback that year, I remember, like, people talked about the potential of Josh Allen, but a lot of people thought Josh Rosen would be the third quarterback off the board. And it ended up being Josh Allen at 7 to the Bills, and then Josh Rosen being the fourth quarterback off the board, 10 to the Cardinals, and then all the way down at 32 to make it the fifth quarterback in the first round, it was Lamar Jackson. I don't think we're getting five quarterbacks in the first round. Before the combine, I said, even though I don't have J.J. McCarthy as my third best quarterback, or my fourth best quarterback, I thought the quarterbacks that were going to go in the first round were going to be Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and J.J. McCarthy. I kind of feel like after the combine, though, we're going to see five quarterbacks actually go once again in the first round. And I know we've seen that since then, but I was just using that draft as reference. The Trevor Lawrence draft, we had five quarterbacks go in the first round as well. But I think we're going to get definitely McCarthy go in the top 10 now. I could see it just with how much people are talking. I don't think May's going to fall as much as what people think. And then I do think someone's going to scoop in the first round to go get Michael Penix Jr. So that's where I'm at as we conclude this week. All righty, we'll be back on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Big thanks to everyone listening, calling, tweeting throughout the week. Also participating in the YouTube chat, youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Ryan, Stu, Samter, thank you as always. Best crew in the business. We out. Bye-bye. Talk Monday, everybody. Peace.
It's that time of year. Cash the Ticket. Jim Costa with Mike Valeni. We shift the focus from football to college hoops. Playing that system that's not a system, but sure plays like a system. Leading up to the tournament, we're looking for that value with the daily dimes. We look for the gross lines. Getting us ready for the tournament where we're going to break down all the matchups and have an eye on some future plays too. This time of year, baby. Search Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.